Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, final hour of the program. Pascal Siakam, Cos, we mentioned it earlier, of the Toronto Raptors, a four-year, $130 maximum contract extension.
Get your paper.
Pascal Siakam getting his paper, and he'll be getting a ring on Tuesday night up north. How ticked do you think the NBA is that there's going to be no Zion Williamson in that game? Because it was supposed to be the Raptors get their rings and Zion makes his debut.
Yeah, you know.
And now they're getting bit right in the behind because Zion's not going to play and Kawhi's no longer a Raptor. And they should have done what I told them to do, which is bring Kawhi Leonard back on opening night and put the Clippers
absolutely
against Toronto.
Absolutely.
And let
correct.
Kawhi Leonard get an ovation and
absolutely.
Get his ring and let them all move on.
Absolutely. You should be a schedule maker. That is a dumb schedule.
That should have been the opener.
Not the, Zion's first
the
game.
The NBA season opener should have been Raptors get their rings with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers in the house, and Kawhi gets his ring and gets to watch the banner that he helped put up
yep.
get raised.
Yep.
And then they, you know, he left. It's fine. I think everybody's cool with it. You know, as much as any star leaving a town after winning a championship would be. And you tip the season that way.
Is that a TNT or an ESPN?
TNT.
I always thought TNT gets the early ones, the first ones.
It's a TNT.
So,
and then but because they didn't do that, it's Pelicans, and then you got because you got to have Lakers Clippers the first night.
Yeah, you got to do that. Like, we don't know that's a Titanic matchup. Hey, how about this? Split those two LA teams up. You could have had the LA market for 7 hours, right? Because you know people are going to watch the Clippers when they start the early game, and you know they're going to want to watch LeBron. Well, no, let's play them together. Yeah, I like your schedule point. Let me just say this. I think there are some people who are watching the NBA who are kind of, they're chuckling a little bit saying, quite a way to open your season. Because I think the NBA is a little bit iffy right now. They're not so sad that the NBA has got an unrated market in Toronto and no superstar with Zion Williamson.
Well, and And I give them credit for even I thought there was an outside chance they wouldn't put Toronto on.
I totally agree.
Because of that.
Totally agree.
Because of them being unrated.
Absolutely agree. With that said,
but they deserve to be on. They won the freaking championship.
They deserve to be on. They win the championship. I hope Toronto is a playoff team this coming year.
I think they will be.
Good.
I've got them in the Eastern Conference. We're going through this general manager survey.
You did a great job of teasing something, though.
And, yeah, we had our players primed for a breakout season, and the leader was De'Aaron Fox of Sacramento, 19% of the vote. A guy that I don't even believe is on here at all, not even in the others receiving votes, but we got a couple of texts throwing his name into the ring, and I think it's right on the money, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz.
Is it because, first of all, is there the Utah bias? Nobody pays attention to Utah. So there's the Utah bias.
I think it also could be, well, didn't he have a breakout season 2 years ago?
His rookie year was the breakout when he was a mid-round, first-round pick for Utah, and he exploded onto the scene. Is it because he's had a couple of playoff runs already that they don't want to maybe put him into the next level? But I think there's a new level that Donovan Mitchell can go. And Utah's going to need him to go to.
And I think playing with a
point guard like Mike
Conley. Point guard like Conley is going to help.
I totally agree with you. Nothing against Ricky Rubio. But I think Mike Conley changes the pace of the way they can play. I think that he's going to make Donovan Mitchell more effective. They're not going to ask Donovan Mitchell just to have the ball and create on his own. Listen, you want to look at a franchise who's done it the right way. Everyone thought when Gordon Hayward left to go to Boston that Utah was going to be just a crap factory. They have not been a crap factory.
Not at all.
They're better than they were. They've made the best out of it, and they've put themselves in a position, I'm hoping, it's Denver and Utah in the Western Conference Final. I'm hoping.
Chilton Autobody text line from the 408. Kyle Kuzma gets a vote. Breakout year.
Here's the tough thing about that. This is just my opinion on that. The tough thing is he's so overshadowed by two other names.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one.
That he can have a really good year, but it's hard to break out from under LeBron's shadow and then the Browse shadow. And I want Kyle Kuzma to have a good year. I'd love to see that happen. I like seeing young guys come up, and I want to see the next generation of stars.
Paul George will be the MVP, 209. No chance Paul George is the MVP.
Well, 209 is going to stick it to you. When Paul George is the MVP, he's going to come here and dance a parade on your head.
No chance Paul George is the MVP.
Okay.
Like zero chance.
Why are you a hater?
None chance.
None point none?
None point none.
Why are you a hater of Paul George?
I'm not a hater of Paul George.
He's an excellent player.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander should be a beast for Oklahoma City. He's on the guys that could be on the right. Are we not giving Oklahoma City enough credit for maybe being in the mix of one of those teams with Dallas and Sacramento and the Pelicans?
I think
still have Chris Paul, still have Gilgeous-Alexander, have Adams.
When
could they be 35-38 win team like those others?
I don't put it past them, but I will say, when you lose Paul George's 27 points, 28 points a game, when you lose a triple-double guy, your natural thought is that's just, no matter who you bring in, is not going to be a better team. By the way, those two guys are also pretty good defenders. So it's not like you are going to add. Chris Paul is not one of those two guys. Chris Paul's up in age. He's long in the tooth. He's got a bad contract. I do think Oklahoma City has set themselves up to have a chance to rebuild in the coming years. Maybe we're overlooking them to be a 35-38 win team, maybe. But I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the only question I have is because I view, at least coming into the year, as like I view the Pelicans and the Kings and Dallas. To me, they're all mid to upper 30s win teams that if everything goes right, and another team fails, maybe one of them could get into the 40s and maybe steal somebody's spot. Mm-hmm. Should we put Oklahoma City in that group with the other three? I'm leaning toward no, but I'm not 100% sure.
When you take a look at some of the other questions in this, best point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center.
Who's the best point guard in the NBA? This, by the way, this... For everybody that thinks somebody doesn't get their due.
Oh, yeah. This is going to change your mind.
Well, who is the best point guard in the NBA? And right now, Warriors fans are screaming at their whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Curry! Well, 90% of
general
NBA
managers.
GMs said Stephen Curry. So 27 out of 30 GMs.
What does that tell you about the point guard spot? Because Steph Curry is not a traditional NBA point guard. In fact, I maintain to say that the Warriors have a point guard and a shooting guard is wrong. I think the Warriors are more of a 1970s era team. They have two guards. They have two guards. That's what they have. And both guys are interchangeable at what they can do. Right?
And Curry and Russell.
True that, but I'm thinking about the traditional Thompson and Curry.
See,
I've
actually always looked at it the other way as Curry. Like, for as much as positionless basketball has been, you know, and the Warriors
mantra.
Get credit for that, and that's been the mantra, to me, Curry's your prototypical in today's game point guard. You can run everything through him. He's a great shooter. He creates for others. Like, he is clearly a point guard.
Is he?
He's a point guard to me.
He is.
Klay Thompson's your prototypical two. Like, he is the prototypical two guard in the
that's
NBA.
That's interesting. See, I don't
Kevin Durant was your prototypical three. Like, you had...
See, I don't see the guards that way. I think Steph isn't... Well, maybe we define prototypical point guard.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in today's day and age...
Is he John Stockton?
No.
That's what I mean. And to me, Stockton's the prototypical point
guard. But again, that, you get into the semantics, like people would say, well, Chris Paul is, and Steph isn't. Chris Paul's a true point guard. Steph isn't. Okay. Stephen Curry's a point guard.
Any way you slice it, you know what the bottom line is? NBA general managers appreciate what Steph Curry does.
Best point guard in the NBA, 90% of the vote. That's 27 out of 30 votes.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard got two votes. And LeBron James got one vote.
And again, I don't know what the rules are if Johnny, you have to vote for.
We got another Johnny Jagbaggery.
Yeah, I know. If maybe there's someone who just wrote LeBron's name for everything.
LeBron James, maybe as acting Lakers GM, voted for himself again.
And that's my question. The only question I would have with the NBA general manager survey is, are general managers told you cannot vote for your own guys? So there will not be a 100%er on here ever.
925, why is everyone sleeping on Portland? Look at their roster. I like Portland. Coase hates Portland.
I don't hate them, but I'm not as high on as others. I see them as an injury away from falling off.
Yeah, I would put them in that group.
I mean,
Damian Lillard's out 3 months. They're in danger of not making the playoffs.
Like, do you sit here and do you say 53 wins? Let me look at their roster.
He told me
to look at their roster. I'm going to look at their roster.
And while we do that, we'll go through some of these other positions.
Best shooting guard
in the NBA. This one's going to draw the ire of Warrior fans.
Paul George?
No. Paul George actually got a couple of votes, though, which doesn't make a lot of sense. James Harden, 86%. So James Harden, 26 votes. Paul George got two. Best shooting guard in the NBA, Paul George got two. And then others receiving votes, Jimmy Butler and Klay Thompson. So Jimmy Butler and Klay Thompson each got a vote.
And I will tell you that I think that's fair.
Klay being hurt, he gets thrown out.
I think a lot of GMs probably tossed him out of the equation, and somebody said, you know what? Klay Thompson's still pretty damn good. They're considering him when he's healthy, which I think is fair, because I do think Klay should be in the discussion. Klay Thompson got jobbed by not being in one of the top three teams last year. The end.
How about this one? James Harden last year, 73% of the vote. James Harden this year, 86% of the vote. So more people voted for James Harden as the best two guard this year than last year.
Let me ask you a question then. It's pretty definite who the best point guard in the NBA is and who the best two guard in the NBA is, right? According to the general manager.
Stephen Harden.
It's an onslaught, right?
And Harden's not really a true two either.
And I don't think Steph's a true one, but I don't want to get into that discussion.
Right.
Let me ask you this. You have a team. Who do you want? Curry or Harden? Who do you pick on your team?
That's a tough one.
It is.
I'd probably go Harden.
888-957-9570. You know what?
I'd probably go Harden.
Would you? It's interesting to me.
I mean, you can't... And you know what? This season for the Warriors is going to answer that question. Because I think there's an unknown as to how... If you're saying, who do you want, Curry or Harden? Right?
Right.
The belief is, based on what we've seen to this point, well, you know Harden can at least lead a team to 43 or 44 wins on his own. Because he's done that.
Yep. That's true. Boy, that's an interesting call.
Like, their worst year with James Harden, when they were in shambles and they fired the coach and everything, they still won 42 or 43 games. They snuck into the playoffs. It might have even been 41, but they snuck into the playoffs as the 8th seed. The Warriors smacked them around, and it was see you later.
You're better than I am, because I think I'm too close to it. I think I instinctively take Curry.
But this year, I think, is for those that wouldn't pick Curry, if Curry can lead the Warriors to 45 wins in a playoff spot, then I think it would, and still be as efficient and dominant as he's been, then I think you'd have to say Curry. I would say Harden, just based on you don't know. I'm thinking of in the context of, if you have him and not much else, what's the best you can do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really thinking of it in who gives you the best chance to win a championship and all that.
Okay.
Like, because I think Curry gives you a better chance to win a championship if it's Curry, and then you add pieces to it, and then I'd rather have Curry. But if you're just saying one guy, and this is your franchise, and you want to win as many games as possible, I think we've seen Harden kind of do that.
Okay.
And we haven't seen Curry do that yet.
That's fair.
But this year, we ironically may see Curry do that.
A different definition could be written now because of what Curry
has. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I see what you're saying. Best small forward.
Kawhi Leonard, 62%.
This is interesting to me.
LeBron James, Giannis.
Here's what's it. A couple of things are interesting. Who's most likely MVP, according to the general managers? Right? I think we know the answer to that one. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Right? The key MVP, I might add, for you. But by a pretty wide margin, over half the general managers think he's going to win most valuable player. But as far as small forwards goes, he's only the third best small forward listed on this amongst general managers. So to me, there's a disconnect there. The other thing that stands out to me, oh, no, I'm going to wait on that one. I got a point in a second. So for small forward, what stands out is that Antetokounmpo is supposed to be the MVP, but he's not the best small forward in the game. That's weird to me. General managers seem to have, to me, they've missed out on that. If you're the MVP, you better be the best at something. Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, well, the next one will change that.
And then, yeah, so Giannis got 14% small forward, but he got 59% of the vote as the best power forward.
And what is he? I don't know. But also on that list, keep naming the names on the power forward list.
Anthony Davis, who insists he play power forward.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James, 10%. LaMarcus Aldridge got a vote. Last year it was Anthony Davis.
Okay, here's the thing that's interesting to me. LeBron James is not the best at anything anymore. But you know what he is? He's on the list of best point guards. He is on the list of best small forwards. He is on the list of best power forwards. He's still pretty darn remarkable. LeBron James isn't the super duper anymore, but man, he is still unbelievable.
That's fair.
When he wants to be. Think about that.
I think he's on a mission this year.
He's top three in three categories.
I think he's on a mission.
You do? You think this is his defining?
I think
he's like, I see my, you know, the book is coming close to the
end. I think he's also seeing how wide open the league is. There isn't.
Totally.
There isn't a Warriors team that is what the Warriors were, that we're just going to be standing there at the end to swat them away.
By the way, because of what you said, the league is more wide open. That attracts me to the league a little bit. There are going to be games that I pay a little more attention to this year because any one of those teams can come out. I can make Denver and Utah cases this year.
Yeah, I think you could make a case that there is more watchable teams this year than there has been the last few years.
Yep.
The eight, you know, whether it's the two LAs, Denver, Portland, Utah, San Antonio, the Warriors and Rockets, that's eight right off the top. And I think Sacramento and the Pelicans and Dallas are interesting to watch.
Yep.
You could make a case for Oklahoma City as being interesting to watch. I mean, there you're talking about 12 teams just in the West. I think in the East, more watchable than maybe they get credit for. Philly and Boston are good. Milwaukee's got Giannis, still good. Indiana is a damn good team.
Indiana is underappreciated
and watchable.
As a watch. Yep.
Miami's got Jimmy Butler now. I still think Toronto's a playoff team in the Eastern Conference.
Are you intrigued by Atlanta?
I'm intrigued by Atlanta. They're probably a little bit under a playoff team.
Okay. I agree,
but they're a watchable team.
Yep.
Haven't even mentioned Brooklyn, and Brooklyn was maybe one of the more watchable teams last year, so I'd put them in that category. We're already up to seven or eight teams, I think, in the East. When's the last time you say that?
I think Orlando is.
So that's 20 teams.
Yeah.
So we're talking 20 or 21 teams.
That's good.
That's good.
To me, that's good for basketball, and I know basketball will say, I want the super team because you either love them or you hate them.
I think you could make a case going into last year there might have been 10 or 12.
I totally agree with you on that. There was some unwatchable basketball out there last
year.
Now,
it wound up being some teams that were more watchable than you thought. Maybe Sacramento was one of them. But I think you
they
could
surprised
say
you.
Really watchable teams. It's like there were, you know, 6 to 8 in the West and maybe 4 or 5 in the East.
You know what hurts the NBA? The New York Knicks are not on the watchable list team.
No.
And that's a sad thing. That's bad for the league.
Chilton Auto Body text line, two opinions on this.
Okay.
415, Harden is an elite scorer, but flops too much and is a ball hog. Can't hold a breath to Steph. And then the 510, thank you for realizing Harden can carry a team by himself. Curry needs the help of other all-stars to win. And then the other playoff of that, was Steph his 2015 MVP and championship year not proof enough he can carry a team? He said himself he doesn't need to feel like he has anything to prove. I mean, you could make a case. I don't think Steph carried that 2015 team though. I think he was an MVP player on a damn talented team.
Fair enough.
He's clearly their best player though. I mean,
no question. Most likable guy.
Straw that stirs the drink.
He's also most likable.
But again, I have a very specific basis for saying that. If you're saying, the Harden or Curry, we know that you can get to a certain level mm-hmm. with Harden alone. We know that the level with Curry and others is much higher.
Right.
But I'm just going player for player.
Then let me change the equation.
But this year could change it.
It could, but let me change the equation again. Take Steph out, insert James Harden 5 years ago. Would we be sitting here today with three championship rings in five seasons?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Same other cast of characters.
I don't. Curry.
Harden played with KD in Oklahoma
Curry
City.
Curry better with that fit.
Okay.
Let's go to Joe in San Francisco here. Joe, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
Personally, I would take Curry. And the reason is because he is more of a team player. He doesn't hog the ball. He distributes the ball. He's a teammate, and he's a great leader on that team. He teaches those young kids, and he's, like one of the text messages said, he's not a ball hog. He distributes the ball, and that's what I respect about him.
All right, fair enough.
That's a good one.
That's a case.
Yep, that's a good one. It is true. Harden is not going to be in danger of leading the league in assists at any time in his career. I mean, I will almost tell you that he bores the game down for me. I cannot. There are times.
Who?
Harden.
Yeah, for sure.
There are times I have a hard time watching the Houston Rockets.
No doubt.
Because I am so bored watching James Harden. The end. I know what he does. I know it's hard to average 30-some points a game. I know that's physically difficult. But, and evidently he's got a new move this year that he's waiting to break out on people. I think I'm tired of the step back and I'm tired of the duck under and the falling down and going to the foul line. But man, what he does, even though I don't like it, he sure does it well.
707, Curry makes everyone around him better. Can you say the same thing for Harden? I wonder, and look, I wonder if the Warriors struggle this year, are people going to say, does Stephen Curry really make everybody better? Like I feel like this year is going to determine a lot of the things that we've just given to Stephen Curry as,
yep,
that's just the way it is.
Yep.
Just the way it is.
I think he will get a pass here. I think there are enough doubters around the NBA landscape who will be in the, see? Hey, Mr. Making Everybody Better. So I think here he gets the protective blanket. Because he's our guy. But I think the NBA world where, and let's not kid ourselves, so Steph Curry isn't the typical NBA player. He's not the guy who had to fight his way through the system. He's the guy who got to go to the NBA practice facility at the age of 13 and shoot it. So I think around the NBA world, if they don't win 50, if they have a hard time, there will be those who say he can't do it.
888-957-9570. More calls on this. We continue to bang through the GM survey, and Mark Medina is going to join us coming up here at 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, joining us now, Coz, our next guest, the one and only Mark Medina.
I like him. I'm a big fan.
Now of USA Today. But it feels like he never left. I see Mark Medina every night. Whether I'm in LA, I see him. If I'm in the Bay Area, I see him. I think we're going to see him next week. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. I mean, I think the reason is the Lakers and the Warriors have been playing each other a million times in preseason. But I've been getting the remark like, hey, didn't you leave the Warriors? Why do you keep coming back?
Yeah.
And you know, I guess for the bad news is I'll be back for the season opener against the Clippers, but, I'll be out of sight a little bit after that.
Yeah, Mark, let's start with a conversation. We were going through the annual GM survey.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, Coase had threw the question out there, you know, if you're, who do you want? Well, Coase, I'll let you ask the question,
right?
Because, you know, Stephen Curry is the number one point guard. James Harden's the number one two guard among the GMs. And then Coase threw one at me. I want to throw at you.
Yeah. So if you're starting a team, Mark Medina, Funky Cole Medina, if you start a team right now, do you take Steph or do you take James Harden?
Oh, I'd always take Steph Curry.
Always.
And
it's like that easy. Huh? It's that easy.
It's that easy. And the reason is James Harden is always going to produce, and there's very little anyone can do to stop him. And he has a way of, even if there's dysfunction around him, he can kind of carry a team. But he has improved with his playmaking and making his teammates better, but it can't even compare to Steph. I mean, he's the best shooter of all time. He attracts so much gravity. And he has a way of empowering his teammates that can make whether a superstar like Kevin Durant feel welcome or one of these young guys on this team right now. And I think that it's an obvious answer with Steph that he's going to be very important this year with his play and his stature. But I think because of his leadership qualities, he's going to help bridge the gap with this transition year. That's not to say, hey, they're suddenly automatically a playoff team or whatever, but I think that if he was not there, not only would they be missing a lot of shooting, but I think the entire foundation would collapse because he is the guy that embodies, you know, kind of that selfless culture that the Warriors want to have.
That's a great answer, Mark. I want to follow up in this way. If the Warriors don't make the playoffs this year, but Stephen Curry plays, let's say, 70, 75 games, and
yeah,
they don't make the playoffs, does his reputation, in your mind, take a little bit of a hit from some of those things that kind of like you've just said, that he just gets the benefit of the doubt for raising the game and being, you know, making his teammates better? Would that reputation take a hit if he can't lead this team to a playoff spot?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question, and it's a good one, but it's hard to answer because I can see some voters, when it comes to the regular MVP discussion, think, hey, you know, he's had to do so much and he's almost a martyr. But I know, you know, I was just asking Frank Vogel, the Lakers coach, and Steve Kerr, the Warriors coach, yesterday, just because I was kind of curious of what's the criteria that they think should be measured with regular season MVP. And both of them said that them being on a playoff winning team should be a factor. The whole idea of a guy that's posting up numbers on a bad team shouldn't be rewarded. So I think that in a way, not to dodge your question, JD, but I think that he would almost be stuck in the middle where there would be a pretty good split of some people propelling his reputation and some people thinking, hey, well, this is the criticism all along that he could never carry a team on his own. It was always helpful that he had Clay and then later Kevin Durant. So I don't know where ultimately it would tilt, but, you know, I think it would largely depend on the clear difference of, are the Warriors a team that's just barely getting the playoffs as a 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, or are they a lottery team? And I think that will be the main factor in play with that.
All right, Mark, let me add to the Steph versus Harden conundrum. Go back 5 years. If you take the Warriors and replace Steph Curry with James Harden, would we be sitting here 5 years later with the same three rings in 5 years?
No, because I don't think Kevin Durant would have joined the Warriors.
Really? Even though they played together at Oklahoma City?
Well, yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant has a lot of respect for James Harden. But I think, you know, when Kevin's been on record with this, when they went to that Hamptons meeting, right, where he was fielding all the free agent pitches, one of the questions he had for Steph directly was, like, how do you feel about me encroaching on your territory? And, like, I don't want to do that. But Steph went out of his way to say, hey, look, I'm not worried about that. Now, with Harden, you know, this year he's talking about how, hey, he's embracing the fact that Russell Westbrook's on the team and he wants the less is more approach. I'm still kind of skeptical, partly because he hasn't known how to dial back yet. And that Chris Paul experiment didn't work as much as they had hoped. So I think if you rewind this 5 years ago, James would have been even of the stronger mindset that, hey, he wants to be able to be the guy to carry it. So, yeah, I think kind of that butterfly effect, if it wasn't for Steph, you could argue not only would Kevin Durant not be here, but this whole, like, foundation of everything working wouldn't be here, because his whole selfless approach allows Steve Kerr to hone in on that as one of his pillars to make this engine going.
Yeah, and I, one thing I would agree, and I actually said Harden, but there was a unique the circumstances were, if you're saying you're starting with one versus the other, there's a minimum level that I think we know James Harden can lead a team to without much help. And if there is one, not knock, I mean, but knock to some, as you kind of alluded to, we don't know what Stephen Curry and a bunch of guys looks like. And I think we're going to get maybe more of a feel for what that looks like this year. It's, you know, Steph was on the rise when the whole thing kind of came together. And it's not that he wasn't the straw that stirred the drink or a unanimous MVP or the best player in the game. It's just that they all hit at the same time. So maybe he doesn't get enough of the credit for being the lead dog there.
Yeah, and these challenges are going to be very pronounced, because not only did they lose Kevin Durant, but they don't have Klay Thompson for at least half the season. You know, D'Angelo Russell, you know, I got a chance to chat with him and observe him a little bit in training camp. I think that he's going to help mitigate the offensive scoring load. But defensively, this isn't a good thing to say that Steph Curry shows that he's vastly a superior defender than D'Angelo. So there's a lot of work to be done. And to your point, you know, we have seen in the playoffs, most recently in the NBA Finals, that teams have a way of knowing how to trap Steph and make things difficult. Of course, he'll still be productive, but at some point, the wearing down might catch up to him. And frankly, defenses can be a little bit lazier because they know, hey, it's just about putting the most physically intimidating guy on him and then just getting doubles and daring other people to make shots. And right now, the Warriors don't really have that consistent guy that can do that beyond D'Angelo. So a lot of challenges await this season.
Mark, is there a quiet undercurrent of the NBA cognoscenti that is maybe looking forward to the Warriors not being the Warriors of the last 5 years? They're almost sitting there going, all right, now you're about to get your comeuppance.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement that finally there's a feeling in the season that everything is wide open, like everything's up for grabs. When teams at Media Day speak the cliches of their optimism about winning a championship, it actually comes from a real place, right? And I think my time, when I was covering the Lakers down in L.A. for a few years at the L.A. Daily News, this was their worst stretch in franchise history. And the Lakers at that point experienced the worst of both scenarios, where A, they didn't have a great roster, but B, they had teams that remembered what it was like when the Lakers were dominant, so they weren't coasting against those teams. They wanted to kick them while they're down. And I think for the Warriors, they're not at that point because they still have Steph and Draymond, but I think teams are going to go into Chase Center or, you know, seeing the Warriors on the road thinking, hey, we got to give them a best shot because there's still a level of respect for Steph and Draymond, and they want to be able to you know, get some mileage when they couldn't in the last 5 years. So the problem for the Warriors is there's not going to be any of those gimme games that they can get against so-called easy opponents, because they're going to treat the Warriors like a marquee game, even if the context is completely different than it was in the last 5 years.
Mark Medina of USA Today joining us here on 95.7 The Game, Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore with you here. Mark, LeBron James is somebody I want to ask you about. In the games that he's played in the preseason, it's looked to me like he's on a mission almost. What have you seen in your time around LeBron in the last few weeks when they've been around, just that says maybe he sees some of the parity and an opportunity to really lead this Lakers team to the heights that a lot of people thought they would be at last year?
Yeah, two caveats just to get them out of the way, JD. It's one, it's preseason. Two, when they play the Warriors a lot this week, I mean, the Warriors don't have any center, so, like, That just, I think, exposed the huge gap between no one having an answer for LeBron at the rim, as well as Anthony Davis when they're playing that two-man game. But with those disclaimers stressed, LeBron looks very locked in. He looks very healthy. And I think that he has shown that he's truly going to be what he set out to be this season, where, A, he's going to have a lot of ball handling duties, and, B, his number one priority is to try to get Anthony Davis the ball. So from an X's and O's standpoint, this is Anthony Davis's team. Like, the priority will be get AD the ball, feed him down low. That'll empower him with the organization. That will motivate him to want to play really well defensively. But it's LeBron that's steering that ship and stirring the drink. And I think the fact that this is the first summer, I think, what, since 2011, that he hadn't been in the NBA Finals, and the first summer since, I think, 2003, that he hadn't been in the NBA playoffs. He had a lot of time to heal himself, but also kind of process that whole last season and use all the external motivations that players love to do. And it clearly shows that he's ready to rumble this year.
As much as we say that it's as wide open as it's ever been, in reality, isn't the road going to have to go through Los Angeles in some way, shape, or form? And whether that defines as the Lakers or the Clippers, no matter how wide open it is, somehow Los Angeles is going to be part of the equation.
Yeah, I think the Western Conference Finals is going to take place in L.A. Now, is it the Clippers and the Lakers or both? I think it's going to be both, but I think that's up in the air. I think, you know, like with any team, it's going to come down to health. But when you're looking at the Clippers and the Lakers specifically, you know, they're entering an interesting season where these guys with the Lakers are fully healthy, but they're not too far removed from having a lot of injuries last year, both LeBron and AD. The Clippers aren't entering the season fully healthy. Kawhi Leonard said he's fine and he's no longer having those issues with his quad as he did that final year in San Antonio. But Doc Rivers was saying the other day that he estimates that Paul George is going to be out for at least the next 10 games. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a problem long term, but at least to open the season, maybe they take some lumps early on. So there are question marks from a health standpoint, but I think that both teams have a lot of depth with a lot of veterans that have been there, done that, and B, they have a lot of guys that can fill specific needs. With the Lakers end, they have a lot better shooting. With the Clippers end, they have a lot of continuity. They lost Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari in that trade to get Paul George from OKC. But other than that, they got almost everyone else from their bench. So it's going to be very tough for anyone outside of the L.A. teams to really beat them in a playoff series. But we'll see. You never know how health plays a factor once April starts.
Can I nominate two what I think are overlooked teams in the Western Conference, and that's the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz? I have really high hopes for both of those teams and think they can both be top four seeds in round one this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would handicap Utah as having more of an advantage because they've gone deeper in the playoffs. I like Quinn Snyder. I think that, you know, on one hand, they did make some moves this summer, most notably with Mike Conley, but they have still a lot of continuity and a good blend of kind of a defensive grittiness, good three-point shooting. They can run up and down the floor. I think where Denver is at a disadvantage is they're not as good defensively. And I think as good as Nikola Jokic is, in a seven-game series, I think teams could still limit him. I wouldn't be surprised if Utah comes in as a third seed, or heck, maybe they knock one of the LA teams down and they enter as a two seed.
Mark, are the Warriors more likely to be a top four seed in the West or miss the playoffs?
They're more likely to miss the playoffs. I still think that they're going to sneak into the playoffs as a bottom seed, but when I was, you know, around the Warriors this week, JD, with both the L.A. games in L.A. and, you know, the game last night against the Lakers at Chase Center, there were people around the team that were even admitting, you know what, this might be a rebuilding year. I mean, they're still having optimism that they're going to make the playoffs because of all the reasons Warrior fans know. Steph Curry and Draymond Green still there. Klay Thompson will at some point come back. They have the culture. but they're very well aware that Klay is a huge factor. And the fact that he's not even going to be back until at least after All-Star Weekend in February, and there might be some time for him to knock off the rust, that's a lot of ground for the Warriors to make if they are, you know, behind the standings at the point that Klay comes back. So, you know, the Warriors internally are almost like the fans. Like, they're holding out hope that they can sneak in the playoffs, but they're also bracing the reality that, you know what, this might be about a season of developing young guys and seeing if the ping pong balls land their way.
Mark, great stuff. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. I guess it's a tradition. I'll make my weekly trip to the Bay and act like I've never left.
Thanks, Mark.
Perfect.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. Mark Medina, USA Today, 95.7 The Game.
He's based out of L.A. now, right?
He's moved down to L.A., but he's going to be here a lot, and has been here a lot. He was at both of the home games with the Lakers playing the Warriors.
How much this is? I'm intrigued at this because I know you. You're everywhere. Part of where you are, though, and it's going to a lot, is the Warriors. Have you noticed a lessening of media attention, or is it too early to tell?
It's too early to tell.
Okay.
The place was jammed on the preseason opener for the opening at Chase Center, the first game ever there, even a preseason game. So it was pretty jammed that night. The last couple of games, it's felt a little bit more like preseason, but no, I think early on, it's going to be all attention on the Golden State Warriors. Now, we'll see if that continues and at what
even
level that continues.
You know, I mean, it's ESPN had a daily guy here.
Still do.
New York, was it the New York Times or the Washington Post? Washington Post.
Both.
They both have a daily guy.
They both did.
Yes,
yeah.
They both did. Now, though, do we have the same thing?
No.
Okay. To me, that's a sign of something.
Of?
Well, I think everyone's...
They're not as good.
They're chasing the balance of power.
Yeah, I mean, that's something nobody can argue with.
No,
if you just make the simple statement, are they going to be as good as they've been the last 5 years? No, they're not.
Did the ESPN,
nobody would say that.
Did the ESPN reporter move down to L.A.?
No.
Interesting.
No, still here.
Hmm.
The great Nick Friedel.
Nick does a very good job, too. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
He used to do a lot of stuff in Chicago.
Yes.
That's where he started.
Yep.
And then he was bouncing around on the Jimmy Butler story. And I think Nick does an... I don't know him.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of his.
But yeah, he's here.
So he stays here.
He's in the city, yeah.
That's interesting. I'll be intrigued to see if at some point ESPN says, you know, we need another guy down there. And they've got a ton of guys down in L.A., but... we might need another one there. Or find where the next big story is.
I mean, he does the jump and does some... I mean, he bounces around a little bit. But he's still here.
Okay.
You want to keep going on this survey?
Couple of things that have jumped out to me on the survey, and you can pick any ones you want.
What rookie of the year? Easy call? Zion?
It seems like everyone's going that way.
No Morant?
No Morant. No pick another guy.
I think
no
Morant's
RJ
pretty
Barrett.
Good. I think Morant's going to be pretty good.
And
Zion's got to be available. I think if Zion plays a certain amount of games.
He wins.
60, he wins. But he's already going to miss time.
Yes.
At the start.
I haven't seen enough of Morant to give you an idea. I can only tell you that I saw his highlights. Because during the NCAAs, all you saw were the highlights. And he's pretty darn spectacular.
Best perimeter defender in the NBA. There were two players on this list. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They both play on the same team.
But then, who's the best defensive player in the NBA, which I found interesting. Kawhi gets number one. Rudy gets number two. And did you see who's number three?
Draymond.
Green.
And Draymond Green, also the most versatile defender among NBA GMs.
Which I find to be an interesting thing as well.
Draymond 1, Kawhi 2, Giannis 3. So they still believe Draymond's got it defensively.
Which
best
I think
defensive
is awesome.
Team in the league, Clippers, hands down. Clippers, Jazz, Bucks, Sixers. Last year it was Utah. Got 45% of the vote. Who is the best coach in the NBA? Greg Popovich, 55%. Last year it was Brad Stevens. How much did Brad Stevens' stock shrink? Brad Stevens went from 47% to not even among, he didn't get a single vote.
Hmm. People changing their minds. Those general managers all of a sudden not looking over to see when Brad Stevens' contract comes to a close.
Spoelstra, Budenholzer, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, two votes.
We'll see if next year he gets any.
Steve Kerr, two votes for best head coach in the NBA. What stood out to you? We got about
By the way,
4 minutes.
Quinn Snyder is underappreciated.
Yes, he is.
He will be the Brad Stevens of this year.
Quinn Snyder is underappreciated.
Yeah.
Terrific coach.
That's an absolute guaranteed lock on that one. I cannot.
Best head coach, which head coach is the best motivator of people? Greg Popovich? He wouldn't get a vote.
Hey, how did he do in that? How did he motivate that team in the Worlds? World Cup.
Boy, that to me is a that's not the best answer. Motivator, manager, motivator of people. I'd give him a zero on that.
I mean, but you know what? NBA GMs are NBA GMs. That's all I know. You know what I know? Here's how I want to finish. I'm actually excited about the start of the season. There's been a lot of weirdness in the NBA in the offseason. It was a wild finish. Disappointing in the Bay Area because the Warriors didn't win the finals. But I think a lot of people were excited by the finals. I think they were excited by the draft with Zion. I think they were excited by the offseason with all the moves, the incredible moves that were made. And there was a lot of excitement being built up. I think the World Cup was a bore and damaged. The U.S., the stars didn't play. And the two smartest coaches in the world, Popovich and Kerr, somehow couldn't motivate their guys to compete for even a medal. But I don't think people really cared. And sadly, what's interesting now is that the NBA is in a spat with China. You know what? It's over on Tuesday. I only care about basketball.
Breaking news.
Oh, I love this.
To your point, it's something you just mentioned. Quinn Snyder?
Yes.
Long-term contract extension with the Jazz.
Look at that.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski. So you said, you know, maybe a little underappreciated?
Yep.
Not in Salt Lake
City.
Not
in Salt Lake. And I'm telling you, he will be the flavor of the season. Right? Brad Stevens was the flavor for a while. Quinn Snyder is going to be the flavor.
Final word on this show goes to the 650 Chilton Autobody text line. Dubs will bury the Clippers opening night at Chase by double digits.
You hear that, Joe Fortenbaugh? Take it to the bank.
Double digits.
You going to bet 82?
Coz, you're back next week.
Am I?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's
why I'm telling you. So thanks to Jim for Jim and John and the two Joes across the glass and Mark Medina, all the Jays doing work here.
I know, it's a big J day.
Yeah, big J day and Gary St. Jean. It's Whitey and Herbs next, 957 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.